Welcome. Grab your favorite morning beverage and join us for Morning Cannolis with Jim Santel. You don't know me, but I'm your brother. Sampling the news desserts of the week, here is your host, Jim Santel.
Good morning, cities, towns, villages in Wisconsin and the great Midwest and throughout America. This is Jim Santel, and you're joining me in the studios here of WAUK Waukesha in downtown Waukesha for Morning Cannolis, sampling the news desserts of the week, including this week. Every week, talking with you about the major stories in law and government and aspiration for justice in America. Thank you so much for spending some time this morning with me, talking about all of those issues and more. This is 101 FM, 540 AM, and throughout the morning, including this hour and next hour, also taking your phone calls at 844-967-2789. Delighted in the previous hour to be with my friend and colleague Don on his show, talking a lot about Waukesha and some of the recent history here. We're going to continue that tradition this morning for the next 2 hours here on Morning Cannolis, chatting about things from the news of just this past week. And our agenda is going to be focused a lot on investigations and prosecutions and, yes, search warrants and indictments and charging and all kinds of things related to the criminal justice process in America. Before we get to that, as a part of our routine here on Morning Cannolis, let's talk about the day that is August 20th, 2022. It is the 232nd day of this calendar year. We have 133 days yet to go in this calendar year. Turns out that August 20th is one of those days that had a lot of things going on, many things throughout time, throughout history, including in 1975 was the day that the Viking 1 was launched to explore the surface of Mars, lands much later in the northern hemisphere, and sort of opens up our understanding of what Mars looks like on the ground, heading back years earlier. 1920, on August 20th of 1920, was the time in Detroit, Michigan, that the first commercial radio station was up and running. It was started by a Detroit newspaper and is now owned by CBS. Today, 1920 in Detroit, Michigan, the first commercial radio station out there. A few years beyond that, 1940 was the day on which the Winston Churchill, the Prime Minister of Great Britain, after 3 months of the Battle of Britain in the skies over the south coast of Britain, said these infamous words, "Never in human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few." He was talking then about the British Royal Air Force and the things that that military unit had done to protect England, changed in many ways the course of the war. That very important speech, that very important statement made by Winston Churchill way back in 1940. A difficult and ugly part of our American history. It was today, on August 20th, 1619, that the first known African Americans in North America were brought here from Africa. They landed at Port Comfort in Virginia and were then sold or traded into servitude, beginning the ugly, the horrific tradition of slavery in America. That was ultimately resolved, although the residue of that continues even to this day, by the Civil War. But 1619, the time of the first landing in this country, in Virginia, of the first slaves in America, an ugly part of our history. It turns out that years later, in 1831, it was today, that Nat Turner, the slave rebellion at that time, was overturned, was pushed back. 60 people killed in Nat Turner's rebellion in the midst of slavery in this country, put down by about 3,000 military forces on that day. Again, as we wrestled with American our history of slavery in this nation. 1968, another difficult time in our world history. 250,000 Soviet troops and Warsaw Pact nations invaded Czechoslovakia in response to what was called the Prague Spring at that time. 1968, the invasion by the Soviet Union into Czechoslovakia. Heading back earlier, 1920. We spent some time this morning talking with Don about Waukesha's great tradition of football, including just last night, the broadcast continuing here on WAUK going forward of our local teams. 1920 was the year on August 20th that the predecessor of the National Football League was first formed. It was called at the time the American Professional Football Association. And who was the first president of the American Professional Football Association, later becoming the National Football League? That was Jim Thorpe, the great Olympian Jim Thorpe, in 1920, announcing the creation of what would become the National Football League on August 20th of 1920. And finally, a couple of significant things in our history as well. 1959 was the year that Hawaii became our 50th state, on August 20th of 1950. All of those things. And then for those of you who are into movies, and we all are, Dirty Dancing with Patrick Swayze and Jennifer Grey was released on this day way back in 1987. Many, many things happening on August 20th on this day in history. Today in Waukesha, we're spending some time talking about recent events in American history. We're inviting your phone calls as well at 844-967-2789. We know well, let's just jump into those right away. We know well that this past week has been an historic week for America. We have spent a lot of time talking about, among other things, the a search warrant that was executed at the home of our former president, Donald Trump, in Mar-a-Lago, Florida. I'm going to spend some time peeling that story back a little bit more, chatting about how one goes about getting a search warrant, what that means, and responding in many ways to some of the criticism that is serious and that is troubling of the FBI and of other law enforcement. The responses to that, and in many ways, have been violent. We know that an individual showed up at the Cincinnati location of the FBI. He was killed as a result of his engagement there. That kind of violence, wildly inappropriate. I'm going to talk about the reasons why the execution of the warrant, apolitically, without partisan perspective on this, was done perhaps, but according to routine process, perhaps appropriate to discuss this morning as we think about the process by which we got there and the mechanism through which one obtains a search warrant in America. So let's jump right into that. We know that based upon the information that was released by the magistrate judge in South Florida, that the United States Department of Justice, working with the FBI, did obtain permission to go into the president's personal residence and other places at Mar-a-Lago for the purpose of executing a search warrant. How does that happen? Well, as I've indicated, once again, we would go back to the fundamentals, which happen to be in the United States Constitution. It is the Fifth Amendment to the United States Constitution that says this: no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury. And it goes on about the charging under the Fifth Amendment. The Fourth Amendment, the one that precedes that, is the one that talks about the right of people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects, absent unreasonable searches and seizures. That was written by James Madison way back in 1789. And is the basis upon which we, to this day, in state and in federal forums, do obtain, upon a finding of probable cause, we do obtain permission by judicial officers to go into buildings, to go into businesses, homes, other places, cars, safes, containers, places where we believe, where there is probable cause to believe that there will be evidence of criminal activity, a criminal event having taken place, that the physical items there, the papers, the documents, other things, reveal criminal behavior. And all of that, once again, derives from the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution. I read the Fifth Amendment as well because it's important to understand the difference between those two. A Fourth Amendment procedure is one by which an investigator, a court, does in fact grant authority to go into a particular location. No one is charged under the Fourth Amendment. It is under the Fifth Amendment, and we'll talk about that later in this morning, this hour, perhaps into the next hour as well. Difference between getting a search warrant warrant and charging someone with criminal conduct, two different procedures. And very important to understand in the wake of the history of just this past week that what we do know is that the search of Mar-a-Lago happened, that it was upon a presentment to a magistrate judge in South Florida, a probable cause to believe that there is evidence of a crime at that location. Other important issue here, nobody charged with that offense conduct to this time, although plainly that could happen down the road. So that's the first important point coming out of our discussion this morning about how this works. How does that happen? Undeniably, there's a huge history, a couple hundred years of history under the Fourth Amendment by which investigators, both in the state system, federal system, even sometimes locally, can go to a magistrate, a judge, and say, we've got reason to believe once again that there's probable cause to believe that in that location there is evidence of a crime. And it's only upon a determination by that judge. It is not the decision by a prosecutor. It is not the decision by an investigator or the FBI in this case, or a local sheriff, a local police department. They do not have the independent, singular, unconnected authority to go into a home except under some certain circumstances called exigent circumstances. If there's an emergency, yes, indeed. If there's a reason why waiting to get a warrant would undermine the purposes of safety and security, then under those emergency circumstances, the courts have recognized the obligation, if you will, and certainly the right to go into premises and preserve evidence, but more importantly, to preserve safety and security of people who may be there. But the fundamental tradition, the traditional way of doing this, is to seek a search warrant, which was done in this case. And we know in the wake of the reporting on this, that in this particular case, there was a magistrate judge once again in South Florida who looked at all of this and said, yes, indeed, I find that there is probable cause to believe that there is evidence of a crime in that location. His name is Magistrate Judge Bruce Reinhart, and he was the one who once again was receiving information from the FBI, given an affidavit, which we'll talk about after the break, that supported his finding of probable cause to authorize that. Again, upon information presented to him, but only upon a review and confirmation by a federal judge that information supports probable cause to go in. This checks and balances notion, which we've talked about before, very much in evidence when one speaks about search warrants. We're going to talk more about the process and about its application to Mar-a-Lago when we come back right after the break. This is Morning Cannolis. This is Jim Santel. Join us here in this conversation about criminal process, criminal procedure, search warrants, charging, and the implications of those in America.